And so tonight we're going to talk about the born again trail. And here's what I want you to understand about the born again trail. It's kind of like what that song they were just singing. It's who you are. Most Christians don't know who they are. You think you know who you are, but you really don't know who you are. You think you know what God's love is, but you really don't know that God loves you. Because if you would, this place would be filled, packed out. Because you would be hungry for more and more of his revelation knowledge and how you can do more for him. Okay? So tonight we're going to begin, and now this is going to be a long series. So don't think it's going to last for a couple of weeks. This is probably going to go, I haven't even finished it, and I think I'm on tape 10. I've already got like 12 or 13 messages to preach. And I promised the Lord that I'm going to break every third week. So are you up this month or not? Am I supposed to keep that quiet? Okay, I think Ricardo's going to teach this week or this month sometime. And then I haven't asked her yet, but I think we're going to have Cheryl back in April, and then we're going to just see who else wants to step up and preach. Amen. The thing is that you have got to be mobilized, folks. You just because you're born again and just because you're getting teaching, you have to be deployed. You have to be equipped, and you have to be trained. This is why we have these things. This is why we have these outreaches. We don't have them because we don't have nothing else to do. Trust me, I got more than enough to do. But I'm doing them because I want you to be equipped. I don't want to get to heaven and God goes, why didn't you work with that person? Well, I made the opportunity available. He goes, yeah, I saw that. They were just being apathetic. So it's their fault. Amen. So folks, We don't pray in the spirit on Tuesday night because we don't have anything else better to do. We're not going to the prisons because we just don't have anything to do. We're going so that you can go with us and learn how to find your assignment. Amen. Okay? It's in all that. In your moving, in your acting, God's going to give you your assignment. Okay? You're not too old. Amen. You're not too young. You're not too crippled. You're not too far down a totem pole. You're not... I mean, folks, you have literally no excuse. No excuse. I don't care what you think your challenge is, you have no excuse. He's not going to accept it, okay? He knows what he put in you. And so tonight we're going to begin talking about two births. If you're born again, you've experienced two births. And we need to talk about those two births. But first of all, if you would go over to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Well, don't go over there. I'll just go ahead and tell you what it says. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, many of you have read that and won't have a clue what that means. You've read that and don't know what that means. It was a prophecy scripture that was given to this man, and he was speaking prophetically. He was talking about your day. He's saying your spirit is going to be eliminated by God. He's going to come in and change your fallen nature and give you one like his, and he's going to eliminate that nature by the Holy Ghost, and he's going to teach you all about himself via the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm getting excited already. Praise the Lord. And if you don't spend time praying in the Spirit, if you don't spend time with the Holy Spirit, you don't know much about God. Well, I've been to seminary. Well, that's probably where you've been hanging out, is a cemetery. You're probably right. You don't know much at all. Just because you've got you may have five, you could plaster these entire walls with degrees. But until you spend time with God, until he begins to change you on the inside, you don't know God. I don't care if you got the biggest church in Korea. If you don't spend time with God, you don't know God. And when you get to heaven, you're going to walk by him. You're going to pull the angel's robe and say, hey, I want to see Jesus. And he's going to say, well, you walked past him 5 minutes ago. You don't recognize him because you don't spend time with him. So we want to understand who he is. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all of them with parts of the belly. Now we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to talk about the fall of man. Because the thing is, when God made Adam perfect. Now the thing is this, we're going to find out here in a few minutes, that there have been two sons of God since creation. Between Jesus or between Adam and Jesus, there were only two sons of God. Adam was the first son of God. Everybody else born after then were not sons of God. You were, I guess, basically son of men. But the bottom line is this. Adam was created with a perfect spirit. Perfect. But when he sinned, he fell. And so Romans 5:12 speaks of that. It says, wherefore as by Romans 5:12, wherefore as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. If you are here, if you're born in the earth today, you are born with a fallen nature. You are born with a fallen. I don't care how sweet you were. I don't care when they picked you up and said, oh, coochie coo, oh, he's so cute, he's so precious. You had a fallen nature. Now, your sin wasn't imputed to you, meaning God didn't hold it against you, but there came a time called the age of accountability that then God began to say, okay, now you ought to know right from wrong. So here's the translation of that verse. Because of what Adam did, sin entered into the world, and thereby we were born with a fallen nature in our first birth. So remember, we're talking about your first birth now. We're all a product of the will of man, and that's why Jesus came and provided salvation for us so we could claim our original states as sons and daughters. God was trying to put you back. Because you're born again now, he's put you back in the same position that Adam was. Amen? Amen. The Father loved mankind so much that he established a covenant. Now, let me ask you a question real quick. Let me see hands. How many of you think you're a covenant people? Let me see your hand. All right, covenant people, okay. How many of you think you're sons and heirs? Well, can you be both? Which are you? You see what I'm? You see the confusion in the church today? Some say we're covenant. Some say we're sons and heirs of God. Well, which is it? You see what the thing is? We get these things confused. We hear one preacher saying one thing. We hear another say another thing. We turn the channel and something else comes on. And so now we're going, well, I'm something like that. I'm somewhere in there. Well, you are, but you need to know specifically what you are. Actually, you don't have a covenant. You don't have a covenant. The covenant was established between God and Abraham. Abraham represented Jesus. Now, the thing is this, that covenant now is the covenant was between God and Abraham. Okay? But actually, Abraham was standing in Jesus' stead. So the thing is this, God didn't cut a covenant with you. Well, how do you know? When did you shed some blood? What blood did you shed? Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. Don't get confused either. So you don't really have a covenant. What you have is you have Jesus, who has a covenant with Almighty God, Jehovah God. He has a covenant with God, and that covenant, I guarantee you, is not going to be broken. Now, because of that covenant, Jesus said, I'm going to make all you guys heirs and joint heirs with me. Amen. So you're an heir. You're a son. Jesus is your oldest living brother. He is your Lord. He died for your sins. He went to hell for you. He bore your penalty. Glory to God. However, until we understand our covenant as Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking believers, we will never enter into the life that God has prepared for us. Because our primary teacher, now get this, your primary teacher in this dispensation is the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's your primary teacher. You may have favorite TV preachers. You may have a preacher that you go and listen to every Sunday or Saturday or whenever you go. But that teacher is not going to give you what the Holy Ghost can give you. The Holy Spirit has been sent here to lead and to guide you into all truth. And where man comes up short, your pastor, your teacher, your evangelist, your prophet, where they come up short, the Holy Ghost steps in and reveals the deep truths about God's word. He's able to give you what no man can. This is why you're still hungry. This is why you're going, God, I'm missing something. What you're missing is fellowship with the third person of the Godhead called the Holy Ghost. I'm getting excited about this already. I want to buy this recording, brother. Our covenant is totally different from the one the Old Testament saints had. their spirits were incapable of understanding light, neither did they have a new nature that made it possible for them, possible for the Holy Ghost to dwell in them. See, they could not, the Holy Spirit could not dwell in them. Now you say, well, the Spirit of God spoke to these men of God. Yeah, Elijah and all those prophets. The Spirit of God was upon them. And when it came upon them, guess what happened? After he came upon them for a season, and guess what happened? He leave. Now, the difference here's what Abraham had, and hopefully I'll get to this eventually. Abraham, God said, Abraham, will you make a covenant with me? And Abraham said, yes, God. God says, listen, I'm going to impute righteousness on your behalf, and you can whip the devil, and Jesus will pay for it at the cross. That's his, and that's what he said. Now, the thing is this. God did the same thing to you. Righteousness has not been imputed to you. You have been made righteous. And you can whip the devil because Jesus has already paid for that behind spanking. I'm about to say something else. Y'all know what I'm about to say, huh? In John 14, Jesus said this. He said, the Father would give us another comforter that he may abide with us. He said that now he dwells with you in the old covenant. He said he now dwells with you. When he was talking to the apostles, he says, now he dwells with you. But in that day, after Jesus had gone to the cross, he was going to dwell in us. So the Holy Spirit now dwells within us. Amen? Remember, we're learning who we are and what we have at our new birth. Old Testament saints waited for the promise when God would take away their old nature and give them one that they could hear from God. Now get this. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, this is what it says. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. What days? The days that we're living in right now. The days after Christ has gone to the cross. I will put my laws where? In their mind. And I will write them on their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. And in Hebrews 10:16, he said this. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds that I will write them. So the thing is this. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you think that the Jews have a special covenant with God that for the last 2,000 years, they've all gone to heaven? Do the Jews have a special covenant beyond what you got? Huh? Well, do you care? You don't know. Which is it? So you mean, are you telling me is this, the Jews that have not accepted Jesus as the Messiah, what has happened to them? They have not been saved. And I'm going to show you that here in this teaching in about a couple of weeks. They have not been saved. They do not listen. God has done away with in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. When you hear this saying, all things, I think it's 1 Corinthians 5:17 or 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Now, what's the next word? Now, you know what he's really saying there? You think he's talking about your old life. You know what he's saying there? There's no more Jew. There's no more Greek. There's no more Gentile. There's no more African-American. There's no more Caucasian-American. There's no more Indian. All of that is done away with. It's all gone. God doesn't look at us according to our nationality. He looks at us as one thing. You're either born again or you're not. That's it. Either you're born again or you're not. And if you're not born again, you can't receive from God. Now, you can receive salvation and you will receive healing from time to time, but you will not receive revelation from God that you need to have to walk out this life the way that God promised that you could. Now, get this. The Old Testament saints, here's what happened to them. They waited, they lived, they died, and they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. They did not go straight to heaven. Where did they go? How many of you know? How many of you are ex-Catholics in here? All right. Do you know a place called Paradise is? Well, basically, that's where they went. Now, that got translated over to a religious thought. And so now people think that dead people are still going to paradise. They're not. But the reason why God had that paradise, or had the, it was really called the bosom of Abraham in Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And what that was all about was, it was an Old Testament type of heaven where all the saints that were not born again, those that trusted God, that lived according to the law and did the best they could to fulfill the law, and they had a somewhat a consciousness of who God was. In other words, when half of the nation began to slip and slide and they were no longer sacrificing animals, there was a remnant that continued to go. There was a remnant that continued to go and they continued to believe God. Those are the ones, when they died, they went to Abraham's bosom. And they stayed there until Jesus went to the cross. And at that time, God gave them a new nature. And then you saw this big old march going into heaven one day. And all the angels are going, "Whoa!" Who were they? They were the saints of old that had died trusting God. At this point, they would leave all types and shadows, or they left all types and shadows in the Old Testament, including Abraham's bosom of paradise. And then they entered into his mighty presence, into the presence of Almighty God, which had not happened since the fall of Adam. Do you realize, until Jesus had gone to the cross, died, nobody from the earth had ever gone to heaven? No. You know why? Why? You got to know this stuff, because they had a fallen nature. The reason why you're going to heaven is because your nature resembles heaven. You're going to go wherever your spirit resembles. If your spirit resembles hell, hello somebody, guess where you headed? Don't shout me down now. I don't believe in this once saved, always saved. I believe that sanctification is the progressive thing. I think you get born again, you begin to live for God, you begin to fight the battles that the enemy has. You begin to push back against these things. How? With the power of God that's in you. But I don't think we are designed by God to get born again, kick up our heels, and watch as much television as we want, whether it's religious or otherwise, until Jesus comes back and says, "Doot, doot, doot, we're going home." And you go, oh, where's my halo? Oh, I heard my New Testament. You can't find nothing of yours. That's not how he wants you to live. You're supposed to be understanding and fulfilling the plan and purposes that God has on your life. Amen? Amen. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, 39, it says this. The Old Testament saints received the good report through faith, but they did not receive the promise. God having provided some better thing for the New Testament saint, and that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Old Testament saints could not be made perfect without us. In other words, they did not get a born-again spirit. They did not get a new nature until Christ had gone to the cross, died for us, went to hell for 3 days, rose on the third day, went to heaven, brought his seat before the mercy seat, poured out his blood on the mercy seat, and God said, "It's finished." Now everybody can have a new nature that's born again. Everybody that's been living for God can have a new nature. That's how you're able to get born again. But until then, they were not made perfect. And now listen, you can't get to heaven unless you have a new nature. You can't get to heaven unless you're born again. Now, if you have a new nature, guess what? You ought to be living like you got one. Come on now. You ought to be living like you got one. Not living like you got some fire insurance. Don't shout me down now. Now, in this current dispensation, the moment we're born again, we do receive a new nature. And when you die, there is no waiting period for you. Instead, you go directly to heaven. The angels of God. One day I'm going to teach a message on heaven. Well, actually, it's not one message. It's several messages. Okay? But when you die, instantly the angels of God come and they get you. And they go, "Let's go." And you say, "Where are we going?" "We're going to heaven. But we got to go through the second hell first." the second heaven. And that's where all the devils and demons reside. And so you're walking through this pathway called the highway to heaven, and you got angels on both sides, and the devils are going, I want my hands on you. And the angels are going, back off. Back. I said, leave them alone. And they escort you straight to heaven. That is your pathway to heaven. There is a highway to heaven. There is a highway to heaven. And you want to make sure you're on that highway the day you check out of here. Don't be thinking, well, maybe they're late. Maybe they're too busy. if your heart is right, those angels will show up, because that's what their job is. The Holy Ghost's job, the Holy Spirit's job, is to make sure you get to heaven. That's his job here on the earth, is to make sure you get to heaven. That's one of his responsibilities. So you think you don't need to know anything about who he is on the inside of you? I would suggest we need to know some of these things. Because now we now have a new nature. The Holy Spirit is able to take up residency on the inside of us. Because our new nature has so been purged of all of our sin that now the Holy Spirit can dwell in us with all of his fullness, with all of his holiness, and with all of his pureness. But does that mean you don't sin? It just means on the inside of you, in your new nature, you're pure, you're holy, you're righteous. You got to get that in your thinking. It means how you're going to receive from God. It depends how you're going to live for God. If you think that your salvation was tainted, if you think there's something wrong with you because when this person got born again and got this spirit, but you got a used spirit. If you think all that, no wonder you're kooky. You have to realize you have been given something very precious that God set aside for you. God took a part of himself and put that in you. And now he expects you to do something with it. He expects you to win the world while you're here on the earth. He doesn't expect you to go home, get your television remote control out and go click, 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 click. Let me see if I can find some preachers that can make me happy. That's not why he gave you that. That's not why you've been born again. But you have been purged on the inside. You are holy. You are righteous. You are sanctified. But your sanctification is a progressive work. Your sanctification is not a one-time shot. It's progressive. And that's why the Holy Spirit is in you right now. He's helping you perfect that sanctification. Let's talk about Jesus and Adam. Now, you need to get this. For many, this is revelation knowledge. Your spirit is a result of procreation. We got kids in the room, so I don't want to say any other words. I hope we all know what the word procreation means. According to the law of Genesis, God commanded Adam to be fruitful and multiply. We are the only creatures on earth that have been commanded to procreate and replenish the earth. Now get this. God doesn't make these little tiny spirits and send them here on the earth to potentially end up in hell. There's a lot of teaching going on about that. God makes no spirits in heaven, and he brings them to the earth, and he puts them in a woman's body. That's not what's going on. The law of Genesis, everything produces after its own kind. So now if you don't, that's a law that God created. What does a law mean? A law means it will do the same thing every single time. How do I know if I let this go, it's going to fall? Because of the law of gravity. The law of gravity says whenever something is let go, it's just suspended in the air, the gravity is going to pull it down to the next level. Amen? Yeah. Well, there's a law called sowing and reaping. There's a law called replenish the earth. There's a law called reproducing after your own kind. And this is why God's against, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but God is against fornication and adultery for a particular reason. Listen, God is against you marrying the wrong person. Don't shout me down now. He's against you marrying the wrong person. But now listen, you have a choice to marry the right person, but once you marry the wrong person, you're now stuck. Don't shout me down. Well, they ain't doing this. You chose them. I know you don't love me tonight, but that's okay. You don't like your old bald-headed husband. You don't like your wife. Well, you chose him. Don't shout me down. Now, y'all ain't saying many amens. You look at yourself going, I don't know what's going on, Pastor. Well, listen, Just keep looking straight ahead. Don't flinch. And we know you're not talking about you. Amen. So just hang in there. All right. All right. But again, these spirits are not created at the moment. These tiny spirits are created at the moment of procreation according to a law of Genesis. Now, why am I saying that? Okay, let me get political for a second. So you want to abort that little thing that's in your body. You may cut it out of its mama's womb, but you're not going to get rid of it. That little spirit's going to live forever someplace. You're either going to be raised here in the earth, or God's going to scoop it up, because that spirit will not die. Just because you cut it out of a womb, it does not end its life. That is an eternal substance. It cannot be destroyed. Now, I'm not pro-abortion. I'm not anti-abortion. I'm not anything. I'm this. God creates life. And it's precious. If you don't want to have this life within you, then quit doing things that may make him. That's what I got to say about it. I'm not against you not having any fun, but I am saying this. What you don't understand is this. You're creating life, and that life, just because you think it's a mistake, it's not a mistake. Now, go over to Luke chapter 3. I'm going to prove to you that those little spirits are not made in heaven. In Luke 3:38, the only son of God was Adam until Jesus. Why is that? Why was the only son of God until Adam? Because all the rest of them were not created by God. All the rest of them were created by man. If you look at Luke 3:38, it's the begats. And the first begat is, it says that Adam was called the son of God. Why? Because God created Adam. Thank you, Pastor. But now who was next? Adam and Eve had a son called Seth. But Seth was not called the son of God. Who was Seth called? The son of Adam. Seth had a son. His name was Enos. Who was Enos? What was he called? The son of Seth. Enos had a son called Canaan. Canaan was a son of who? Now, so who is, when you read those scriptures, who is the only son of God in that portion of scripture? The first one is who? And who is the second one? Jesus. It's the only one. Now, here's the thing. What does God call you when you get born again? Why is that? Why does God call you a son of God now? He didn't call Seth. He didn't call Enos. He didn't call Canaan. He didn't call any of these guys sons of God. Why are you called a son of God? Because Adam was born from above, meaning he was created by God. How was Jesus born? He was born from above. Mary did not know a man in the natural sense. The Bible says that the angel explained to Mary that the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. Jesus was born from above. When you get born again, how are you born again?
From above.
From above. You are born again from above. Now, literally, what that verse is saying, you have been sired by God. God impregnated your spirit and you became a son of God. That's who you are. Now, I want you to get this. I know it's elementary right now. And the thing is, you know what I appreciate about this class? Man, y'all get this stuff fast. When I was preaching the Born Again Trail, I figured it was going to just bounce back at me and bounce back at me. Man, I started laying this stuff out and y'all were going, I'm going, they're gulping this stuff down. That's good. I've been in some classes. Man, I can preach like this, and it just goes bouncing right back at me. And I'm going too fast, too soon. And I got to stop and go back. But now I can just go right on through this. You're getting this. Is anybody having any problem with anything I've said so far that you don't understand it? Pretty simple, isn't it? Amen. So, up until after Well, I mean, after Adam falls, it is fallen flesh reproducing flesh. Why is that? Let me ask you this. Were angels created or were they birthed? So let me ask you a question. Why does God offer you and I salvation, but for the angels that fail, he doesn't offer them salvation? It's a good question. Do you know the answer? Now, don't guess. You don't know, you don't know. But this is why you're in this class. You're to learn some things.
Because we were made in his image, and the angels were...
You're flying around the airport. I want you to land the plane. Well, listen. God personally created or washed over the creation of every angel. He personally created them. They were not procreated. Angels cannot create. They cannot procreate. This is why demons and devils can't expand. And the thing is that the ones that fail, you would think by now, as many Christians, quote unquote, Christians in the earth today, that we'd be running them bad boys crazy. But you know how they what they do now? How many heard the term called spinning plates? It's an old business term, and it means that, you know, you're so busy, you spin this plate. You ever seen the guy in the magic show, or I don't know what it is, what it's called, but he'll have these poles, and he'll spin this plate, and he'll put another plate on here, and he'll spin that one, and all of a sudden, you got about 10 plates, and he's just going around. Just make sure these plates keep spinning. Bottom line is this. Here's what the devil does to most of us. He gets you on a track. You don't pray in tongues. You don't do any private worship. You ain't interested in growing in God. All you want to do is come to the church and be a part of something. All you want to come to the church and just go, hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't want to grow. So the devil goes, well, listen, we got this person hung up in fornication and adultery. They'll be stuck with that for at least another 5 or 6 years. And then when they get tired of that person, they'll find somebody else. So he keeps you on that. And then you got guys like Robert and Roberto here, Ricardo here. They're praying to God. They're fasting. They're praying. They're trying to get in there. And the devil goes, we got to stop them right now. So take all the devils off these little people. They ain't doing nothing. And put them on them. When the devil has been cast out, he roams around in dry places. And he says to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my original state and I'll bring 7 more devils more powerful and more mightier than I. This is an organized operation, ladies and gentlemen. When the devil realizes that he can't stop you because you won't start praying in tongues, oh, you'll get a whole bunch of opposition. And you'll think, literally, all H-E double hockey stick is just broken out in my life. Why? I'm praying in tongues, I'm fasting, I'm doing all these things. Why is all this going on? Because the devil's going, I got to stop you. But then again, you got Miss Flower Child that comes every day, hallelujah, and she ain't got a care in the world. Or, you know, Brother So-and-so, he come in there with his eighth dune lean. He got that big old Bible, and man, he just strutting his stuff, and he ain't got no problems. And he's wondering, why you all that? What's wrong with you? You in a battle? Every time I see you in a battle, what's wrong with you? Because I'm spending my time praying. I'm spending my time pursuing God. I am not going to allow the devil to cut me short, but you could care less. So why would he, listen, as long as he got you on CNN, he's got you watching all them other programs on television, he ain't got to bother you. People always tell me, Pastor Craig, hey man, what's going on? I ain't got time to pray. I tell them 2 things. Bring me your cell phone bill. Bring me your cable bill. I'll find you time to pray. You got time to pray. You're just using your time on something else. But this is why. When you begin to pray in tongues and you think, God, why is this stuff just breaking out in my life? Why am I being opposed? Because the devil is trying to stop you. Man, I'm in so many different wars right now. I get one part healed and something else. I'm going, I ain't giving up. I'm not stopping. I don't care if I go to heaven and, you know, I don't care how I go, but I'm going to get there. Amen. Folks, we got to have no quitting sense. The devil's got an organized situation. His troops are organized. He ain't playing games. He's playing for keeps. And just because people that don't love you anymore and turn their back on you. And I realize, ladies and gentlemen, I know divorce is hard. I get all that. But let me tell you something. You're going to allow one person in your life to keep you out of the goodness of God. When you get to heaven and you look back at what you gave up, you're going to realize, oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. There are rewards in heaven. There are different levels of authority in heaven. Now, the thing is, the judgment seat that we'll be presented to, it's not a bad judgment seat. It's a good judgment. It's a good judgment. You're going to be happy just to be in heaven. I mean, man, I can just imagine myself. I'm going to kiss the ground. I'm going to kiss the streets of gold and go, I made it! Glory to God. I'm here! But that's not all I'm looking for. The way I'm fighting, I'm looking for a reward. I'm looking for a reward. Not because I can boast. I'm looking for a reward. Because I'm going to keep resisting. Every time you do something bad and ugly to me, and I go, I'm not going to allow it to affect me. Amen. God goes, I'm paying you for that. Hallelujah. I got it written down in my book. I'm going to pay you for that. Amen. Why? Because I choose to walk in the God kind of love. Amen. See, you can hate me all you want to. All you're doing is making my account fat in heaven. You're helping me gain some rewards in heaven. Okay, I don't care. I don't care how ugly you act at me. I don't care how many times you ostracize me. I don't care what you keep me from and you think I need to be belonged to. Don't invite me to your Super Bowl party. I could care less. I could care less. You know why? Because me and the Lord have a Super Bowl. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we were born into a fallen race. Now let me tell you this. Many people say, well, look how talented that person is. God must have blessed them. God gave them a gift of intelligence. Every spirit that has come into the world since Adam has inherited a fallen nature. We're born into a fallen race. Have you ever heard this question? Why do bad things happen to good people? You ever heard that? You know why? Because you live in a fallen world. You live in a fallen world. Now, get this. Before I was born again, I had the spirit of Adam. I had a fallen nature. But now I've received the spirit of Christ. What does that mean? Do I have Christ's spirit? No, he has his own spirit. You hear what I'm saying? How confused the church is? Do I have Christ's spirit? No, he's got his own spirit. I got my spirit, he got his spirit. Well, what does it mean that we have Christ's spirit? But now I have Christ's nature on the inside of me. The nature of God now lives in me. In my first birth, we were sons and daughters of who? Our natural fathers. But in our second birth, we become sons and daughters of who? Of God. To further illustrate this point, go over to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read the whole thing for the sake of time. But basically, the disciples are asking Jesus the question. He says, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Because man was born blind. So he said, who did this? Now, notice what Jesus, how he answered them. He says, neither. Now, traditionally, you know how this verse is taught? God had this man born blind. So the day Jesus showed up, he could make him see again. Shame on you. I've heard that so many times. It's not even funny. Shame on you, Pastor. Shame on you. Why would God have... Is you think he's that sadistic that he has to make somebody blind to get Jesus to heal them? I don't think so. Here's what this teaching is all about. First of all, go over to Luke chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. I won't read it because we're short on time. But Jesus, the disciples had asked Pilate, had asked Jesus, he said... when those Galatians, when they were killed, they thought they were sinners above sinners. That's what the disciples thought. But Jesus told them not so. He went on to explain that the 18 that perished when the Tower of Solomon fell, that they reasoned that they were sinners above all men in Jerusalem, but they weren't. Why not? Why does one man perish and another man doesn't? Why? No intercessor. Boy, somebody been listening to Born Again Trail. You know, isn't it strange how a guy who is just living for the devil can get in a 4 or 5 motorcycle accidents and nothing happens to him? But a preacher, a child of God, can get involved in a car accident and die immediately on impact. Why is that? It's what you just said. They have no intercessor. Do you want to know how important intercessory prayer is? Somebody should be standing in the gap over the church. Somebody should be standing in the gap over the body of Christ. But then again, we can't get you out to intercessory prayer because you're too busy. You're doing something else. Now, I'm going to trust and give you the benefit of the doubt. You're at home interceding up a storm. You're at home interceding. Shandala bakahaya. God, I thank you the church is flourishing, going well. A bond is strong. I pray you're at home doing that. But most people, they're not at home doing that. And that's why the church is perishing. You know, somebody like myself and Robert, we're up here. The devil knows what we're doing. Listen, you don't think he tries to attack us? Yeah. Yeah. I have to encourage these guys. I say, man, don't quit praying. Amen. Keep praying out the mysteries. Loranda and what's your name, baby? Vivian. They have to continue to pray.
Amen.
They don't? Man, the devil would love to devour them. Mm-hmm. And the thing is this. The devil does not want to see you doing something for God. Mm-hmm. He will destroy you. He'll do all that he can. He'll bring all kind of calamity your way. And you know what you'll say? I guess I got some bad luck going on here. Mm-hmm. It's not bad luck. It's not bad luck. But Jesus told them the reason why they had a horrible death is because they had no intercessor. Going back to John 9, when they asked him, hey, who did sin, this man or his parents? And he said, neither. The reason the man was born blind because of random flesh producing flesh in a fallen world. Now, we got one mama in this room. How many pregnant women do we have in the room? Just one? Do we have more than one? Let me tell you something. But if you got loved ones that are pregnant, you need to spend time praying over that baby now. If you plan to have children, start praying over those children now. Why? Because you live in a fallen world. You live in a fallen world. And right now, it's just random flesh creating flesh. Right now, anybody can create a child. Not just a church. Any fallen person can create a child. But the bottom line is this. If we have loved ones and we know they're trying to get pregnant and have children, you know what we need to do? We need to begin to pray over those people every single day. Bind the strong men. Come against the enemy that would cause to have a birth defect. You know, the thing is, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to cover it again now. But when we say that God gave this person a special talent, God gave them intelligence, God gave them a charismatic look, God gave them all these things. Well, let me ask you, who gave the person Down syndrome? How does that happen? It happens because we live in a fallen world. And what I'm saying is this, grandparents, your children about to start having children. Don't sit back and go, well, man, they're not born again. Don't let that stop you. You begin to intercede over those children. Even if they're out in the world and doing stuff they ain't got no business doing and they come home pregnant, you continue to pray over them.
Amen.
That's not an accident. That baby came about because of the law of procreation, or the law of Genesis, procreation. It's a law that's set into motion, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. God's not going to stop it. This is why God is so particular about how we live and whether we live righteously and whether we live holy or not. We just can't live any kind of way we want to live. Why? Because there are consequences. But again, we should pray over these babies and begin to believe God that they have 10 toes and 10 fingers and 2 eyes and a nose and a mouth. You know, there are kids that are born in the world that have no mouth. I'm not trying to frighten you now, so don't get frightened. But they have no faces. They are born with no noses. Some are born with no hands. Some are born with they're just deformed. Why is that? It's because we live in a fallen world. Now get this. Your first birth was not equal, but your second birth was. Did you get that? Your first birth, your natural birth, was not equal. But when you get born in the kingdom of God, it's all equal now, baby. In the second birth, you become a son of God with no respect to persons. If your parents did not know and understand why they had a covenant with God and laid hold of you by faith, your first birth was not equal. But the second birth, your born again birth, it was equal. Now, I'm going to close by differentiating between two births. Your first birth was of the flesh, and your second birth was of the spirit. If your first birth is when you became a human spirit and actually came into existence. But your second birth is when you were born from above and you became just like Jesus. Who is the first person born from above? Adam. Who is the second person born from the dead? Jesus. Do you realize he is as much born again as you are? Did you realize that? Now, come on now. Do you realize that? Jesus is born again. In other words, he was quickened from the dead. When God asked Abraham, do you believe I can quicken the dead? Now, let me teach you and say this. Was Lazarus quickened? Was Lazarus quickened? Lazarus was not quickened. Lazarus was resurrected. The difference is this. Resurrection refers to a physical body being raised from the dead. You come across somebody that's had an accident on the freeway, and you come across them and they're dead. And you go out there and you call them back to life. That's resurrection. You brought them from death to life. That's not quickening. Quickening means I am bringing a fallen dead spirit from death to spiritual life. That's the difference. Quicken, when you read your Bible, especially in the New Testament, you'll hardly ever find the word quicken in the Old Testament. In the New Testament. But quicken refers to a dead spirit being made alive again. How do you spell it? Quicken. In your second birth, it's the same thing as being born from above. Jesus was born from above. Mary was not impregnated by Joseph, but she was impregnated as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Jesus was born from above. Peter said this about your second birth, that you are born of incorruptible seed. Same thing. Same thing. You're born from above. You're born of incorruptible seed. The word seed here is the word that we get our word called, from the root word called spora, or, not being graphic here, sperm. Your spirit was impregnated by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. You received the power to become a son of God. The more you tap into your new birth, then you'll experience more of the freedom that you inherited. Now, we're going to talk about what you inherited in this new birth. But I got to build you up to this. I got to show you've been born again, but you weren't born again into poverty. You weren't born again into sickness. You weren't born again into worry and fear and doubt. No, you were born again into victory in every area of your life. And the more you know what you inherited, the more faith you'll walk in, the more the devil you'll kick around just because you can. You will no longer be wondering, where is the next battle coming from? You'll be like, bring it on. Oh, so we're going to fight over there today? Now we're not going to the natural. Just bring your monkey self here. We're going over into the realm of the spirit, and we're going to fight over there. We're not fighting over in the natural realm. We're not going to fight in the emotional realm. We're not going to fight in the realm of fear and doubt and unbelief. No, we're going to fight over here in the realm of the spirit. Every day, you'll experience more freedom and more peace as you'll begin to abound and understand the inheritance that you have. And it'll continue to get better and better to the point you'll hardly be able to stand it. Peace will begin to reign out of your sonship. The first birth was of the flesh. It was a result of human beings randomly producing humans. It was flesh producing other flesh. It was during this birth that your human spirit came into existence. At the moment of conception, your spirit came into existence. Then it began to grow to the proportion of your body. But it was your second birth that you became a daughter of God and inherited the things that we're going to talk about coming up here in the following weeks. In your first birth, your spirit is born in a state of innocence. This is why they say that sin has not been imputed to it. It will live forever. It's an eternal being. It will live forever because it's been made of an eternal substance called spirit. Your spirit will never die. It will live someplace in eternity. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There is a teaching going around that says when you're dead, you're dead. I'm just telling you, that's not true. Let me tell you this. Everybody's a believer the moment they cross over to the other side. We're all believers. Now, the thing is, those that didn't commit to Christ before they died, you may be a believer, but you're still headed someplace you don't want to go. Now, let me say this. I'm not being harsh, but I'm going to say something here that may sound insensitive, but it has to be said. And I'm not saying these things to harm you or hurt your understanding of God. No way. But I want to make this statement. There is no way to terminate the existence of a spirit after it has been conceived. No way. No way. So here's what I would encourage you parents. Train your children and let them know what they're playing with. Let them know this is just not something you're having fun with. I wish it would have been explained to me when I became a young man, because I didn't know any of this. I thought when God didn't want you to have sex was because he didn't want you to have any fun. I mean, I thought he was old fuddy-duddy and just trying to make sure you don't have any fun. But what he was saying is this, you're doing something permanent. And here's what the church got to understand. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. What are you going to do with all those babies now? Huh? Do you know how many babies they're killing every year? Millions. You know how many have been aborted since 1967, I think it is? Roe versus Wade into effect? Huh? 73? You know how many babies have been aborted? Around 50 million or more. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with those babies when all of a sudden we stop aborting them? Hello, adoption. There's going to be people my age going to have to adopt kids. Now, I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm serious. And many are going, I do not want another teenager in my house. Well, the reason you didn't want a teenager in your house is because you didn't raise a teenager with the understanding of who God was. You're raised at half, 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. If you've been born again and inheriting the things that God had for you, you could have raised those kids and they would have went, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, etc. But now kids, people that go to church, they think because they send their kids to children's church, they're going to be the best kids. No, you know why? If you don't model what they're learning in children's church, they're going to go hypocrites. Amen. Not true. But if you'll model what we're talking about over the next several weeks, things like the born again trail, if you'll model that stuff in front of your young people, listen, this is why our nation is turned around the way it is. These young kids, they got their example from somebody. It was us. We allowed that garbage to be put on television. We allowed this example. We allowed it. And then thought it was funny. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that you that take pleasure in those things, you're just as guilty. This is why I don't want to watch that garbage. I don't want to watch that nonsense. Why? I hate it. And I don't hate it. I don't hate the person. I hate the sin. I hate what it's going to do to a person. That's what I hate. And we got to get more Christians hating this stuff and quit going, well, you know, everybody's got their choice. Yeah, you do. And you think you're headed to heaven? Really? Seriously? And I'm not talking about your salvation. What I'm saying is simply this, folks. Reevaluate your life. If you're born again, you're going to live like a child of God. The problem with immigration is not having so many immigrants over here we don't have to deal with. Here's the problem with immigration, if I can be political for a second. Here's the problem with immigration. When the immigrants do not assimilate to this nation's rules and laws, When you bring your culture over here and you want to live your culture in the United States of America, it won't work. In other words, if I want to play football and I go to a basketball court with my cleats on, do you think I'm going to play a game of basketball? Nobody's going to play with me. It's the same thing. Church, you should be colonizing your communities. You ought to go to your workplace and you ought to let your light just shine. I don't care how shy you are. You ought to let your light so shine that they go, there's something special about that person. How many of you saw the movie Courageous? Do you remember the scene when the guy, Javier, was offered the job to be a supervisor? And he said, now, Javier, we want you, we're going to get in 7 crates, but we want you to only mark down 6 came in. And you want to take us that one crate someplace else. He goes, let me get this straight, boss. I'm going to get 7, but I'm going to mark down I got 6. He goes, yeah. Can you do that? He goes, let me go talk to my wife. He went home and says, I can't do this. She goes, no, you got to do it. You just not be just get back on our feet. The bills are finally being paid. And if you get fired, we're back where we were again. But Javier said, nope. I done made my commitment to God. I'm not going to do it. And he walked in that meeting the next day, and that guy goes, Javier, have you made your decision? He goes, yes, sir, I have. What is it? I can't do it. And the guy was like, fire me if you have to, but I'm not going to do it. That's the kind of people that we need in the earth today. Those are the kind of Christians that we need. We need people that are going to stand and say, I don't care what you do to me. I'm not going to bow my knee. I don't care what kind of threats you're making to me. I don't care how you treat me. I'm not going to bow my knee. I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to get angry at you. I'm not going to shun you. You ever go to some churches when you see people, 2 people that are mad at each other, and they kind of come to the same aisle, and they turn around and go the opposite way? Folks, that don't fly. That doesn't fly. Out of our new nature, what you're going to be judged by when you get to heaven is one thing. Do you want to know? For $19.95, I'll send you my CD. But you're going to be judged for one thing in heaven. One thing. How you obeyed the new nature on the inside of you. That's what you're going to be judged on. Because he's in there telling you, don't do that. Hey, he wants you to do this. He's saying he wants you to go a little bit further. He wants you to pray more. He wants you to get up earlier. He wants you learning how to forgive. He wants you to walk in love. He don't care what everybody else is saying about you. He's telling you to do these things. Well, my husband don't let me do it. My wife give me a hard time. He don't care about that. He's concerned on the inside. He's telling you something. And are you obeying or not obeying? Well, it may separate me. He doesn't care. Because he's probably saying you need to be separated anyway. But the thing is this. You got so much fear that you think the worst is going to happen. It won't. You'll begin to see God start turning things around because you stood for something. You finally stood for something. This is what's going to change this nation. This is what's going to change our community. When the Christians, the so-called Christians, quit playing church and begin to walk in the God kind of love. Even if it hurts us. And there are going to be people that are going to take advantage of you because they're going to go, he'll do it because he's going to walk in love. He'll do it. We can just pick on him. Careful. You're going to pay for that. Because God's going to give me a reward for bowing my knee and going, yes, yes, I'll do it. And you're thinking I'm Mr. Flunky, and you can put all this guilt and work and whatever you want on me, and you think it's cute. But trust me, I'm going to get paid in heaven, but you're going to be looking there going, they're now my boss? Hello, somebody. You're going to be surprised a little old lady that's back there running the vacuum cleaner when she gets to heaven. She may be running something up there. Look out now. Look out. Don't overlook these people. They may seem quiet and reserved and they like they don't have it going on, but they're going home and say, God, help me. Just get to another day of this. God, I'm believing you. You're going to get me through another, just another day of this, another week of this. I'm going to press in. That person's going to get a huge reward. And though all these church people, because they think they're running something, they are going to be shocked when they get to heaven and go, he goes, oh, well, welcome. Welcome. Glad you're here. You made it. Because they're going to be expecting, man, if I'm running stuff down here, you're going to be surprised. Some of the big name pastors you think are all that in the bag of Cheetos, you're going to be surprised of their reward. I'm serious. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Folks, you've been born from above. There's something in you that God wants to show you that you have an inheritance so that you can begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And you can't do that by playing church. You have to allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to begin to change you to another person. Amen.